it's Monday, May 25th, and this is Israel in 10, the Mizgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. President Trump says he's in no rush to sign a deal with Iran. Leaked details of the negotiations have sparked concern in Israel, with major questions unanswered. How much of Iran's nuclear program would actually be dismantled? Would Lebanon be included in any agreement? And would Tehran continue to control the Strait of Hormuz? Joining us today is Raphael Ben-Levi. He's a senior fellow at the Mizgav Institute and the director of the Churchill Program at the Argaman Institute. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first, the headlines. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio says there will either be a good deal with Iran or, quote, we'll find another way. Speaking in New Delhi, Rubio said an agreement could be signed within days, but President Trump has told negotiators not to rush, insisting time is on America's side. Importantly, Rubio also said Israel always has the right to defend itself. And tamping down expectations this morning, an Iranian official who says understandings have been reached, but a deal is not imminent. Rubio also accused Hezbollah of trying to drag Lebanon back into chaos. He was referring to a speech by the group's leader, Naim Qassem, who called on Lebanese citizens to rise up against their government. Qassem also said he hopes Lebanon will be included in any deal with Iran. The IDF has confirmed the death of another soldier in southern Lebanon. 19-year-old Sergeant Nehore Leiser of the 601st Combat Engineering Battalion from Elat was killed after an explosive-laden drone struck his unit. Another soldier was seriously wounded. He's survived by his parents and two siblings. 23 Israeli soldiers have now been killed in Lebanon since the ceasefire took effect in April. This morning, the IDF issued evacuation warnings for 10 villages in the south of Lebanon. Israel has summoned Spain's top diplomat after accusing Spanish police of using severe violence against Gaza flotilla activists who were returning home from Israel. Footage from Bilbao Airport showed baton-wielding police clashing with demonstrators. Israel's foreign ministry accused Madrid of hypocrisy, saying Spain is quick to condemn Israel while remaining silent over its own police conduct. Israel says at least one flotilla activist had links to Hamas and was under US sanctions. Ultra-Orthodox parties have rejected the latest draft of a controversial military conscription bill. The legislation would increase enlistment among Haredi men while still preserving broad exemptions for full-time yeshiva students, a compromise that critics say is weak and full of loopholes. The dispute is now threatening the stability of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition, with Haredi parties reportedly pushing for early elections as soon as September. The standoff comes as the IDF warns of a growing manpower shortage after more than 2 years of war. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at mizgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Raphael Ben-Levi. There's some ambiguity over Iran's nuclear capabilities, just how much it would have to give up. What are your main concerns?
What's publicly available knowledge is that Iran apparently retains some 440 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium, which is very close to weapons-grade uranium. Another 9 tons or so of uranium enriched to lesser levels. Although the 440 kilograms, that's the main issue. What we also know is that this stockpile is buried in tunnel complexes underneath Natanz and Isfahan. So that means the issue is not an immediate breakout, but rather the fact that they still maintain this enriched uranium and could possibly, at a future date, rebuild their ability to enrich it and move on toward a nuclear weapon. That's the most important issue that's on the table right now.
So from purely a nuclear point of view, is this any different to the JCPOA?
We can compare what we know now to the JCPOA. The JCPOA did remove the accumulated enriched uranium that Iran had at the time. That's its best point going for it. And so similar to the proposed plan, the Trump apparently is insisting that Iran give up on this amount of nuclear material. It's not so clear what exactly they'll do with it. Is it passed to a third party? This isn't even agreed on, right? Right now they're talking about opening the Straits of Hormuz and then discussing what would happen if, let's say, Trump is insisting that that is non-negotiable. One of the main problems that is actually allowed Iran's nuclear enrichment facilities to remain under some sort of promise that they would be locked up and not used for the next 10 years with sunset clauses. So this is a little bit different because most of these enrichment facilities have been destroyed or at least rendered unusable for the near future. So in some ways, that's better because Iran doesn't currently have the ability to take this enriched uranium and enrich it. Although the question is that going to be indefinite? How is it going to be enforced? Right now, they don't have the ability, but maybe 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years down the road, they would be able to rebuild it. How is it going to be enforced? And is Iran going to commit indefinitely? Another of the major issues with the JCPOA is that it did not do anything to limit Iran's missile forces and its support for proxies, while at the same time giving it sanctions relief, which introduced a huge cash flow into Iran, which allowed it to build up its missile threat and its fund its proxies. And so at the moment, the current discussions doesn't say anything about the missile threat, and that's a huge issue. Regarding proxies, language linking the Iranian arena to Lebanon, in some ways insinuating that Israel would be limited into what it could do to continue its war with Hezbollah. And if that really would be the case, that would even be worse than the JCPOA. But the main difference or between the context of 2015 and right now is that the regime has been significantly weakened. It is not the same regime. The majority of the population does not support it. And stopping right now, after we've already done so much, would be essentially throwing Iran a life jacket while it's under the most pressure that it has ever been. As long as the regime remains intact, it will remain a threat to Israel, to the Gulf, to the American forces in the region.
Does it matter to Israel if Iran continues to control the Strait of Hormuz?
It matters in a broad way because that would grant Iran significant dominance over the global economy, over the Gulf states. But that's not the immediate threat to Israel. Israel has to deal with the prospect of nuclear Iran, the missile threat, the proxy threats on its borders, which are killing Israeli soldiers every day.
We don't know if a deal is going to be signed this week or today or whenever it might happen. But what is Israel's worst case scenario versus Israel's best case scenario?
There's a lot of uncertainty right now. Within the realm of feasibility is that this MOU is signed more or less along the lines that they're discussing, which is opening the straits. The US ends its blockade. Iran would end its blockade of international shipping. And then they embark on some sort of prolonged negotiations on the nuclear issue. Iran remains intransigent and not willing to give up the nuclear material. But it is also strengthened by renewed export sanction relief. Iran would maintain an ability to threaten shipping in the Gulf. It's not clear that it would really give up on its claim to dominance in the Gulf. So it might temporarily release shipping, but it would actually end this whole round with more dominance in the Gulf. You might then see also Arab states attempting to appease Iran over the next year in order to allow shipping to proceed. Israel could be limited to the current status quo in Lebanon. I don't think Trump would try and get Israel to withdraw or stop its immediate defensive actions against Hezbollah, but it would be limited to where it is now. And that would put it in a very difficult. Trump would give possible extensions that we would say 60 days, but there could be extensions that could be ongoing. The farther we move away from the current situation of U.S. military buildup, the price of returning back to force rises and Iran's hand is strengthened. Iran entrenches its control domestically because even the Iranian opposition would see that for now, even the United States has given up on the idea of collapsing the regime. And overall, Trump looks very weak. It projects outward this weakness to the Gulf states, to East Asia. And all of the war seems to have been not worth it. That would be the worst reasonable case. The best reasonable case, on the other hand, which is that the United States would continue the blockade and the significant sanctions on the regime and keep the pressure because this is significantly degrading the regime's coherence and its ability to pay the IRGC militants and terrorists, and their entire structure is based on this income that is being choked off. And let's say that Trump comes to the conclusion that it would be best to use force to, at the very least, prevent Iran's ability to continue keep the straits closed. And he would understand this is the least bad option. This is actually the best way, even though use of force has other negative costs to it. Possibly even going further and understanding that using force to push the regime to collapse and ensuring that Iran is no longer a threat to the region, to the United States, to the world. Doing so would significantly change the political dynamics across the Middle East. It would lock in Trump's legacy as the president who ended the Iranian threat. It would strengthen its hands in other regions across the world. An end to the ceasefire in Lebanon would allow Israel to continue aggressively pursuing Hezbollah, perhaps degrading it to a point where we would see also a new type of Lebanon emerge. I think it's very much within the realm of possibility, considering where Iran is now.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Thank you and goodbye.